this cold February winter evening. Now you know, amen. I tell you what, we're praising the Lord we got heat on tonight, I'll tell you that. Amen. There's nothing like going back to a thermostat and bumping it up a little. I did that for y'all tonight, amen. I'm wearing a sweater and cold. It's cold in here, right? Man, it's cold in here, but it'll be warm about the time we get ready to leave, amen. Oh, do we have any testimonies tonight? Any encouraging words? Testimony. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. How far of a lag do we have on the letters now?
Actually,
4 days, all right. Yeah, amen. It was on. But you lived it with him.
Yeah, we lived it with him.
You lived it with him. Amen. That's good news. Yes, sir, Brother James.
Still blessing you.
Still blessing you. Amen. 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 He does answer prayer. What else tonight? Encouraging words. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. That's great. That's great. That's great. That's a good praise. God's a good God. Amen. What else tonight? Anything else? Woke up on the green side of grass. Amen, brother. That's great. That's great. God is good. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 26. We reach a milestone tonight in this series on the book of Genesis, for we will finish chapter 26 this evening, if the Lord decides not to rapture us here in the next 20 minutes or so. All right, Genesis chapter 26. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. I'll pick it up here in verse 26, and we'll read it through verse 35. Genesis chapter 26, beginning in verse 26 through verse 35. If you found that this evening, would you say, glory, hallelujah. All right, the Word of God reads this. It says, then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning, and sware one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you for the outpouring of grace, the tremendous forgiveness that we find. Lord, the ability to come and confess sin to you and repent of sin and turn from it, and to be cleansed from it. We just praise you and thank you for that process of grace, for that outpouring of love. We're thankful for the cross tonight. We're thankful for the covenant of grace that we see here getting going in the Old Testament, beginning here in Genesis. and running all the way through the Bible. We're thankful for that scarlet thread of redemption. Lord, we're thankful for the salvation that we have this evening. We're thankful for each one that you have brought out tonight. And Lord, we pray for those that wanted to be here, but for whatever reason could not make it. We pray that you make a way for them to be here with us this coming Sunday and for certain next Wednesday. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your fellowship that we have with one another, the fellowship of the saints. We're thankful for the songs tonight. And Lord, we pray you just open our hearts and our minds as we attempt to close out Genesis chapter 26. Lord, may we be washed, may we be equipped, challenged, Lord, convicted if we need to be convicted. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Basically, three things about tonight's passage here, verses 26 through 35. It's the final words on Isaac's chapter. This is the main chapter in the book of Genesis that deals specifically with Isaac. After we get through here with chapter 26, we move on to very familiar ground, Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 26 is one of those things that a lot of commentators don't address, don't deal with. They call it kind of a literary term of bridging two sections of Scripture together. But what I know is that the Holy Spirit inspired Moses to record this, and there's some important things in here for the church. And so we don't just take God's word and go, well, we don't need that or we don't need this. We do that, we end up being a liberal. So we don't want to be liberal. We want to be a good conservative, Bible-believing, inerrantist, believing that God's word contains no error in its inspired form. Amen, church? So three things we want to share with you about these few verses of Scripture tonight. The first one is simply this: plurality and syncretism. Plurality and syncretism has been around for a long, long time. Plurality and syncretism. Plurality is taking, and syncretism is taking a little bit of this faith and a little bit of me faith and a little bit of religion over here and a little bit of Oprah Winfreyism over here and a little bit of Dr. Phil over there, and we just kind of wind it all up, and we just kind of have a finger here and a thumb there and a toe there, and man, if I'm just all spread out like that, then I'm going to get the truth I need to make it for me. And I want to tell you, it can't be any further than the truth, right? Right? There's one God, there's one Savior, there's one way to heaven, there's one Bible, there is one truth. Amen? So plurality and syncretism has been around for a long time. Look at verses 26 again. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. Verse 27, and Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? They said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, and even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. Verse 29, if thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up betimes in the morning, and swear one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Abimelech is not repenting. Abimelech is just, you know, I've got my own faith system back in Gerar. I've got my own way of worshiping our pagan deities back in Gerar with the Philistines. But hey, something's going on with this guy. There's a famine in the land, a drought in the land, it's tough times, and everything this guy touches succeeds. So we better inquire about this and kind of figure this out. But he's not repenting. He's not confessing any kind of sin. He's not giving over his idols. He's not giving over his pagan, idolatrous carnality. He's not giving any of that away. He just wants to take a little bit of this Yahweh. Just a little touch. He's just attempting to take care of himself in his own self worship. Verse 29 is an amazing passage. That thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Verse 29 is amazing. It's an amazing statement in contrast to the rest of the biblical record that we've covered in Genesis chapter 26. Abimelech and his countrymen, though they had not raised a hand to harm or attack Isaac physically or Rebekah physically, they had persecuted him, they had plundered him, they had pursued him, they had robbed and opposed him at every turn. He finds a little water during a time of drought, during a time of great anguish in the land. He finds water, and they take it. They come in on him. Water's like gold back here during this time. When there's none around and you find some in the ground, it's big-time stuff. They walked a fine line of passive aggression with him. But their personal appraisal of themselves, bloated with rationalization, drips with fleshly self-flattery instead of the honest reality of their sins against God's man. I want to tell you, they are a picture of the world. The Philistines have gone from one extreme, from running Isaac off, from striving with him for the precious resource of water, to pursuing him and seeking an oath, an agreement with him. And the question is why? Why would they do that? Let me tell you why, church. The world, the lost that's out there today, those that are headed to hell without Christ, they see with only physical eyes. They have no spiritual discernment. They have no spiritual sight. The only thing they can discern is what comes in through the two peepers up here on their head. That is it. And the prosperity of a godly man is observable by a lost world, and everyone likes prosperity. Everyone. Everyone. They want a little bit of that. Man, we want a little bit of that. Lost carnal Abimelech and the rest of the Philistines paid lip service. They paid lip service to the Lord. They did not know. Well, they really didn't want to know, but they wanted some of that blessing. They wanted an agreement with him so that they would somehow, by osmosis, be blessed. When life is so self-focused about me, I will take a little of that God. I'll take a little of that God that you're peddling. I'll take a little of that Bible that you're reading. I'll take a little bit of kind of cozying up to the idea of maybe giving my life to the Almighty. I won't quite do it, but I'll play the part about it. Because I'm hoping that a little bit of your God will go a long way for me. I'll just add it to Oprah-isms and Phil-isms and Feel-good-isms and Osteen-isms. I'll just add it all back in there and package it all up. And hopefully, it'll be enough for me. That's what they were basically doing. It's easy believism. It's easy believism. It's not a heart change. It's not a salvation. It's not bringing a dead spirit to life. It's just nothing but easy believism. We move on. That's point number one, plurality and syncretism. That's just, you know, taking a little bit of here, a little bit of there, kind of bundling all together and hoping that's going to work for you. Plurality syncretism has been around for a long, long time, all the way back to Genesis, we see. Number two tonight, Isaac models for us. Isaac gives a great testimony how a believer, how a covenant individual is to interact with the world. It's beautiful here, verses 30 through 33. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and sware one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing how he deals with them. I mean, they've treated him dirty. and then they've come to him wanting an agreement. He's in no position to submit to them. But yet he feeds them. He gives them a feast. He hosts them. He fed Abimelech and his friend and his, you know, army commander. He fed all these guys. The implication is Isaac had no hard feelings. The implication is Isaac had forgiven them. They're lost. They're pagan. They're carnal. He had forgiven them. Isaac did business with them. Those of you that are saved in the world, you have to do business with lost people, don't you? With carnal people. With people that are headed to hell. He did business with them. He entered into an agreement with them. Without the agreement and the interaction changing him. That's what I love about it. Amen? He did business with them, but he tried to get God in front of them and not allow their paganism to change him. It's a beautiful picture here. And when we stand for the Lord in separation from the world, new sources of satisfaction in Christ can be enjoyed. Let me say that again. When we stand for the Lord in separation from the world, new sources of satisfaction in Christ can be enjoyed. And when I say separation from the world, I don't mean closing yourself completely off from the world, because that's impossible. But when we live a Christian witness and testimony and deal with these people, but not allow them to change us, I want to tell you, we find ways to better enjoy the relationship with Christ that we have. That's what happened here to Isaac. Verses 32 and 33. Verse 31, and they rose up betimes in the morning and swear one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Verse 32, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. He did the right thing. He got a blessing for it. He got water for it. He got a windfall. He stood. He took a stand for the Lord. The separation from the world and new sources of satisfaction in Christ were enjoyed for him. Looking forward to Christ, of course. Interestingly enough, as you read this record here in Genesis chapter 26, interestingly enough, the unbelievers were as glad to leave as Isaac was to see them go. It's kind of like when the in-laws come to visit, amen? I mean, they come in and, you know, you have the feed and the feast and everything, and then, okay, well, the 3 days is over, and boom, we're gone, right? Everybody's excited to go, and everybody's excited that they're leaving. Abimelech and his entourage paid tribute to the fact that the Lord was with Isaac and that the Lord's blessing rested on Isaac and all that he did, but Abimelech had no desire to stay and seek the Lord for themselves. We need to get back to Gerar. We've done what we've come to do. Oh, we don't want to worship Yahweh. We just want a little peace of one of the guys that worships Yahweh. That's all we want. We're just hedging our bets. We're just trying to cover all the bases here. Now, we're not going to get too serious about this at all. Isaac knew God. These Philistines of Gerar knew Isaac knew God. But Abimelech and his men had no interest in knowing God. None whatsoever. So plurality syncretism has been around for a long, long time, church. Number two, Isaac models how a believer is to interact with the world, verses 30 through 33. And then finally, we end this, serving God does not guarantee a trouble-free life. Serving God does not guarantee a trouble-free life. Verses 34, I cannot tell you how many stories of angst and folks leaving the church and folks turning their back on the faith, and all kinds of stuff because something didn't go their way. A marriage fell apart. A cancer came. A life was lost. And so, well, you know, I was serving God, and we were giving a tithe, and we were going to Sunday school, and we were crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's, and this is what we get. Well, if this is the way it is, I'll just go live in the world. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that story. How many times? I want to tell you, it's refreshing to know people and to get to pastor people and lead people that have had tragedy in their lives and are still sticking with the stuff. Boy, that makes it encouraging each and every morning when my feet hit the floor. Hey, there's something to do. There's some real Christians to minister to. There's a real church that wants to hear the Word of God preached. It's encouraging. Because I want to tell you, I've heard story after story of something not going somebody's way and people just kind of washing their hands of God. It makes you wonder, were they saved in the first place? Was there a relationship there? I mean, how do you just turn your back on God? I mean, there's a book in the Bible we all need to read when we start having the pity party, isn't it? It's the book of Job, isn't it? Yeah, go to the book of Job and read that through, right? Read Jonah if you need to, right? You're having a pity party. I mean, you could be in the belly of a fish. It could be really bad. It could be really bad. I mean, I'd rather be in county jail in the belly of a fish. I'm telling you, anything, right? Serving God does not guarantee a trouble-free life. Verses 34 through 35. Boy, our families can affect us, can't it? Our families can affect us. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemoth, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Were a grief of mine. You know, we think about Abraham and we think about Isaac. We think about these patriarchs, and there were heartaches to go around for everybody. There's enough heartache to go around for everybody. Certainly enough heartache for Isaac and Rebekah. And where was the source? The source was right there in their midst. Esau was the source of much of the sorrow and grief. Esau's choice of wives showed how far down the highway to a lost eternity he had already gone. These trials may be the result of our own sinfulness. We think about Rebekah, we think about Isaac, certainly Isaac's choices that he's made in chapter 26. Maybe he's brought some of this on himself. Maybe this stuff is what we covered Sunday, that which is common to man, as 1 Corinthians 10, 13 teaches us. Our families are a source of blessing, and sometimes they can be a source of great pain and grief. But that doesn't mean we check out on God. Amen? So as we close out Isaac's chapter, what is one of the most important lessons of this chapter that we can take away from it? And I would put across to you, it's this. It's the lesson that the son Isaac followed in the footsteps of the father Abraham. There's a process here. God made a covenant with Abraham. He confirmed it with Isaac. Abraham lied about his wife to Abimelech, and Isaac repeated this sin before another Abimelech, either the son or grandson of the first Abimelech. Abimelech sought a treaty with Abraham, seeing that the hand of God's blessing was upon him. And so years later, this other Abimelech did likewise with Isaac. This chapter illustrates the fact that others are observing our steps. And some, whether we know it or not, will follow us in our steps. Will to follow us. As parents, this is a significant truth. It's a serious thought. See, our children must walk in our footsteps if they are to be a part of the kingdom of God. If you're saved tonight, you came to salvation through a realization that you were lost, through a realization that you were a sinner, through a realization that you needed a Savior, and you prayed, you made a decision, you made a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and come into your life, forgiving you of your sin and being in charge of your life. You've made that decision if you're saved tonight. Well, your kids have to make the same decision to be a part of the kingdom of God. They've got to walk in your footsteps. They've got to walk in the path that you have trod before them if you're saved tonight. Amen? Our children must begin at the exact same point that we did at salvation. Then they inevitably make many of the same mistakes we did in order that they may come to a more mature faith. Now, we would prefer, I know I would prefer, if you got honest, you would probably prefer that our children and grandchildren not make the same mistakes that we did. And I pray it's not necessary. I pray that they don't have to make all the mistakes that I've made. But inevitably, my preference is one thing, reality and free will is another. They're going to make many of the same mistakes. I just hope they don't repeat them all. Amen? One of the best ways we can help our children, subsequently our grandchildren, or anyone else that might be observing our lives, like maybe your church family, maybe observing your life. One of the ways we can help is by making certain that our footsteps are ordered in such a way that we would want others to walk in them. Are these steps pleasing of the Lord? Is my attitude pleasing of the Lord? Is my speech pleasing of the Lord? Is this activity pleasing of the Lord? Right? Is what we're doing leisurely pleasing of the Lord? Is this hobby pleasing of the Lord? Is this desire pleasing of the Lord, right? If Isaac's experience was to some degree a reflection of his father's life, it's hard to not see that in the passage. I mean, it looks like a reflection to me of Abraham's life. If Isaac's experience was to some degree a reflection of his father's life, then what a sobering, serious thought that is. I mean, that's out there. If our children's lives and outside observers are to mirror our own life, what an awesome responsibility we have as Christian men, what an awesome responsibility we have as Christian women to walk a path of obedience and submission to the will of God. To the will of God. To the degree that we submit and are obedient to the will of God, God's glorified. And those observing us, they see a testimony of faithfulness. And in a sense, it holds them accountable. In a sense, it's positively convicting to them. That here's somebody doing it, I need to do it too. Look what God's done in their life. Maybe God wants to do something in my life like that. Right? So I would encourage you to walk circumspectly, asking that question, is this pleasing to God? Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can close out another chapter, the book of Genesis. We move on to chapter 27. Lord, we're thankful for the truth, the lessons, the application that we've seen thus far. Lord, a difficult chapter to try to teach and preach we've just gone through. Lord, we come to more familiar ground, and Lord, we pray that our familiarity with chapter 27 would not breed contempt in our hearts for the truth, that we would not be numb to it or we would not be closed-minded to it, Lord, but we would continue to have our hearts open, receptive to the Word of God as we plod through it, verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph as we go through the book of Genesis. Lord, we pray that you be with us now as we enter into a time of intercessory prayer. Pray that you give us the words to speak. Lord, you give us the direction in our prayer time. And Lord, that you be glorified as we seek to be vessels of your Holy Spirit, as we seek to be submissive to the moving of the Spirit as we pray here tonight. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right. Prayer list. What do we have out there?